This is the Valley Outdoors, and I'm glad to have you guys with us. We have a full house. We have our microphones on now, don't we, Don?
Yeah, we do.
There you go.
I think we do.
Don's here. He's back from gallivanting around the country doing a little lure hunting.
I was. We'll talk a little bit about
yes,
it.
Yes, we will. Ava's here. Ava's your mic on?
I think so.
Okay, great. It's important to have that button that says on
so you can communicate. Stop it now. We're ready to go.
Yes, we are. We're going to have fun. We're going to talk a little bit about that. A little story that I think that was going to entertain everybody. About a Wyoming rancher pinned under his ATV, but how he survived will intrigue you. That and more when we return. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference. Here's your chance to fish with us, the Valley Outdoors, and it's simple to do. Register online at thevalleyoutdoors.com and wait for your name to be drawn. We're giving away four trips that include lodging at Ashkenam Resort in Ash River and fishing the waters of Cabotogama and Namekin Lakes. Join me, Eric Olson, and Don Cleaver on this fabulous week of fishing this September 2nd through the 9th. You can bring your own boat or fish with one of us. Plus, a walleye seminar or two and contest prizes throughout the week. Just register today at thevalleyoutdoors.com. Trip sponsored by The Valley Outdoors Radio, Ashkenam Resort, Shimano Rods and Reels, Suffolk Fishing Line, and Rapala. Get registered today to fish with us. Winner announced on July 31st on The Valley Outdoors Radio Show. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back, Don.
Yes, good to be here.
Yeah, good to have you back. And did you have any hot weather where you were at?
It was plenty warm. I was out in Fort Wayne, Indiana for a few days, and it was plenty warm. But the last day we were there, it was nicer in the morning. They actually have, where we were staying there, they have a ballpark right outside. There's like three hotels that kind of circle the ballpark.
Cool.
Yeah, it was very cool. And they had, in the evening, it was very pleasant, you know, for the folks that went to the
ball
games.
What town was that?
Yeah, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Okay.
It's a single A team.
Yeah. That's cool.
For, I think, San Diego Padres.
Neat.
It's one of their farm clubs.
Experiencing all sorts of sports while he's on his tour.
Right?
Yeah.
We'll talk more about that later.
Yeah. Yes, we will, speaking of which. But the hot weather thing, you know, I was thinking about this the other day. The event they had on Lake Mille Lacs, it was about 90-some degrees for head-to-head, the fishing tournament. And they actually had two guys that had to sit down and take a minute, otherwise they were going to pass out. It was pretty wild, because I know these guys. I mean, they shouldn't
spend a lot of time on the water. Yeah.
And it just kind of brought to mind we often forget that even though you're sitting outside and you think you're not doing much on a boat, dehydration happens. And a couple friends had that situation come in, and not something you really want to deal with.
No.
Now, whether yourself or your dogs, if you're working with your dogs in the field, and it is what we know it can be, you know, in the field as far as heat goes, stay hydrated, bring your own water bottles, bring multiple water bottles for your dogs, have a tray that you, or a bowl that you can fold open and give them a drink. It's beyond important. It always comes to mind, I think, that one year you and I had been out to the Grand Lodge,
yep.
And that was a year I think they lost 138 dogs just in that period of time.
That 5-day hunt period.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, a lot of people want to get out and train, which is important, but, you know, staying hydrated no matter what it is, and even though you think you're not going to be worried about it, hydration is a big thing.
And you can get overheated as well.
Yeah.
Your body temperature.
Water is going to be the key. Nothing else is going to work. You may think it does, No other beverages are going to provide that unless it's electrolytes something like that.
I mean, so. I typically, if I run into one of those hot, sunny days like that, I usually have a T-shirt on or a shirt. I'll dip it lake and put it on help cool yourself down. It dries out quickly.
No, it does, especially when it's low humidity's relatively low even then. It's just a concern. So something I thought I might bring up, I saw a couple different shows in hot weather fishing, and you don't think about it, and all of a sudden I thought, you know, it's just something to keep in mind.
Yes.
You know, so. Moving right along. World record paddlefish caught in Oklahoma. Now, I don't know if you know this, Don, but paddlefish don't eat or bite a lure. What they do is they simply swim with their mouth open, and they filter out the plankton and phytoplankton that's in the water.
Right.
So you have to literally run the lure into their mouth is basically what it comes down to. And surprisingly enough, a couple of weeks ago, I was out in USite Imaging, and I saw a paddlefish on my hummingbird.
Oh, really?
It was absolute perfect image of it. So, I mean, that's just, it's crazy how that works. But anyway, so they're in the rivers everywhere. They're big. And this one is ginormous. It's not a word, but I'm using it. So there you go. These two guys posed with their record fish, and a guide service out there, former paddlefish world record and state record holder Corey Waters. They were asking him, how does it feel to catch the world record fish? He said, it's heart-pounding, the excitingest moment of my fishing career. I can't describe it. It's one of the greatest things I've ever been able to pull, and this happens to be kind of a new state and world record. That would be Mr. Grant Rader, who suddenly and recently is now standing atop of the record boards and record leaderboards with a 164-pound paddlefish.
It's a good-sized fish.
It's got 30 pounds on me. That's insane.
That's right near Tulsa, Oklahoma down there. Yeah. How about that?
Yeah.
I mean, is that not crazy or what?
What body of water was that in?
That was Keystone Lake.
Okay.
Yep. So, Donald, let's jump into your little venture. Fishing lures galore.
Well, it's, you know, I've been a collector of vintage fishing tackle going back to the late 70s, and I was pretty active in it to begin with. There's a club called the National Fishing Lure Collectors Club, which I was a member of for probably about 10, 15 years. And then I got away from it, and I still have—I have a collection that I enjoy that hangs in my office. But I had a lot of stuff in other boxes and just boxes and stuff like that. And I had a chance. One of the things that was on my bucket list was to go to the national show, which happened to be in Fort Wayne, Indiana, this year. They have it around the country in various locations. They try to keep it somewhat central. Anyway. We had a chance to go to that, and it was such an eye-opener. There were 500 exhibit tables of vintage fishing tackle. Now, a lot of it is extremely valuable. Most people, you know, a lot of people will have a tackle box at home, think they got a gold mine. It's not necessarily the case. There might be a piece or two in there. It's a rare situation. But if that's the case, I mean, what collectors like myself are looking for is your grandfather's tackle box. You got questions? Give me a call.
Let's take a break. Let's circle back on it when we come back from a break. We're going to be back right after this with more Valley Outdoors. So, Don.
Yes.
First, we have to do some housekeeping.
Okay.
Check us out on Facebook. And check us out on the new
Valley Outdoors.
The Valley Outdoors. And you can actually sign up to win the free trip. It's going to be cool.
It's going to be very cool. You go fishing with Eric and myself.
Yep.
Or myself and Eric.
Me, myself, and I.
And, yes. And we put everybody in Eric's boat. His boat's bigger than mine. And we're gonna eat good, we're going to fish good, we're going to sleep good, and we're going to have a great time.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
By all means, it's so simple. If you can get away the week of September 2nd to the 9th, we're going to be going up to Ashkenam Lodge on the Ash River and fishing Cabotogama and
Namakan.
And we're going to see if we can find some walleyes up there. Well, we're there, and hopefully we can have a fish fry or two. So if you can get away then, by all means, it's just go you online know, and get I registered.
Free, free, free. Everybody likes something for free. This is free. Just got to get there. Everything else is pretty much covered.
Yep.
Yeah, that's it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it. Meeting some people that are listening to the radio, and check it out. I posted on my Facebook page. People are signing up, and if you had any difficulty signing up before, you should not have any difficulty now. The glitch we had on is taken care of, so you're good to go.
Just drop some growing pains. It happens.
Yeah. So it scroll down on the page till it see you, it says, what was the terminology, Don?
Oh, my.
Cast your vote.
Cast your vote, I think. Yeah.
So, kind of cool. Anyway, let's get back to it. Lures. Give us an idea. What are fishing lures going for, Don?
Well, I mean, here's the thing is, like I say, we're looking for most of
the
guys,
my grandfather's fishing lure. Yep, I'm opening it up, and I'm
now,
like,
now
yeah.
A lot of it has to do with the condition of the lures. I mean, one of the things that happened, I mean, I've got a few in my personal collection that got close to a plastic worm. It takes the paint right off of a lure. It really devalues it immensely. But let's say you were fortunate to have a almost like new lure in a box.
Kind of new because some are beat up a little bit.
Some of them have never been fished.
Right.
I mean, there's a collection of what you call hidden artistic minnows out there.
Yep.
None of them had been fished. I mean.
So, Ava, do you notice it's like he can wander on this topic forever?
Well, yeah. I could talk on it forever. So, but an artistic minnow can range from $300 to this guy paid up to $2,400 for some of those individuals. I watched a guy at the auction on Friday night buy a head and paper box for $900 because it was for a particular lure.
Then he probably had the lure.
He has the lure. He couldn't find the box before, so he was going to pay whatever it took. And it, I mean, somebody else needed it too, so it went to $900.
Okay, so we talked off air.
Yes.
About a semi-not perfect bait.
Yes.
That went for what?
This was a...
What was it?
Flying Helgramite is what it was.
Flying Helgramite.
Yep. It sold for $4,200 on the auction. Now...
You think you're paying a lot for $9.99 for a shad wrap.
Right.
And you're going to complain about that. I'm sorry, $4,000. That's not going anywhere near the boat, the water, a fishing rod, or anything else. It's like going to be under lock and key. There's no way around it.
I'll give you one example. I have a... South Bend spinning rod that doubles as a fly rod. It's bamboo.
Yeah.
It's in mint condition. It's brand new, never been used. And I have a guy there looking at it, and he's looking to see if there's any scratches or anything on it, right? And he steps back, and another guy comes up. He puts it together, and he starts whipping it like he's going to be fishing. And the guy comes over, and he goes, oh, you don't want to do that, you know? So he took it apart and laid it back on the table, and he said, well, how much do you want for it? And I gave him a price, and he goes, yeah. He says, that might be a little bit. He said, you know, I can buy a new one for that. And I'm going, you aren't intending to use this rod, are you? And he goes, yeah. I said, it's not for sale.
It's not for sale. We have a tackle snob in our hands.
Yes. I guess so.
Yes.
Goodness.
If you're not worthy of the bait or the rod, you are not going to obtain it.
And if you're going to misuse it.
Move along.
Yes.
Get
nothing
out.
To see here.
Mm-hmm.
Time
exits
for you to go.
That way.
Don't care where you go, but you can't stay here.
Yeah.
There are lures that they refer to them as warriors. It looks like they've been used a lot. And some guys will go out and actually use them to see how they work, you know. Because we're talking about lures from 1930 to 1890.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I've got several of them in the 1905 area. So, I mean, they don't look like the lures of today. Most of them aren't around because they have so doggone many hooks in them. If they ever threw it out there anywhere near something they could get hooked on, they never got it back. So, and their casting rods back then weren't that accurate, you know.
there was a lot of differences going on. There was a lot.
So it was
well,
an eye-opener.
Cool.
It was a lot of fun.
That's cool. Well, we should get some photos of the stuff you had. Put it on the site.
Sure. I mean, I'll give you one other example. I personally
see what I'm saying?
I had a catalog, you know, it's just a 1935 catalog for head and lures. And I had it in my hotel room. A guy walks in and he says, what do you want for it? And I said, $400. He never set it down. He never set it down. He wasn't going to let anybody else pick it up.
So you did sell it?
I did.
For $400?
Yes.
I guess he's buying dinner.
Yeah. Even though I already said he can't.
I know. Yeah. Yeah. There is that.
There are other nights.
Don, that's cool.
Yes.
It's passionate about that. I collect outboard motors, so that's kind of my deal. So
it's fun.
Kind of one of those things that we will do the same on that and really get some people out there that are into the collecting side of it. So very cool.
Great.
One story I want to hit on real quick. We got Camp Ripley Archery Hunt. So you're going to need to get that going in. Apply by August 20th. You can start applying now. And obviously Camp Ripley's near Little Falls. This year, the format of the hunt will change to a single three-day event happening October 29th through the 31st. And that's a Friday through Sunday. Application code 668. Total of 2,500 permits will be made available. Successful applicants must buy a valid archery license to participate. And additional rules and instructions will be posted, and we should be able to have them through a link on our site, I think, to the DNR. I think we have that, don't we?
The DNR website certainly on there. Yes.
Yep. So you can link through the Valley Outdoors and find it. Hunters may choose from three options to apply for Camp Ripley Hunt in person at any one of the 1,500 licensed agents throughout the state of Minnesota by telephone and online by gov/buy-a-license. And this year, the hunt is $14 per applicant. Additional transaction fees and convenience fees may be applied. And they must be 21 and older, provide a state driver's license or public safety identification number. So kind of cool. So tell you what, should we take a break?
We should.
Ava, let's take a break.
Sounds good.
We're going to be back. We're going to talk about a little story that I teased early in the show about a Wyoming rancher pinned under an ATV. Be surprised how he survived the experience. Stay tuned.
Here's your chance to fish with us, the Valley Outdoors, and it's simple to do. Register online at thevalleyoutdoors.com and wait for your name to be drawn. We're giving away four trips that include lodging at Ashkenam Resort in Ash River and fishing the waters of Cabotogama and Namekin Lakes. Join me, Eric Olson, and Don Cleaver on this fabulous week of fishing this September 2nd through the 9th. You can bring your own boat or fish with one of us. Plus, a walleye seminar or two and contest prizes throughout the week. Just register today at thevalleyoutdoors.com. Trip sponsored by The Valley Outdoors Radio, Ashkenam Resort, Shimano Rods and Reels, Suffolk Fishing Line, and Rapala. Get registered today to fish with us. Winner announced on July 31st on The Valley Outdoors Radio Show. So, Don.
Yes.
Teased this a couple times.
Okay.
Wyoming rancher pinned under his ATV for 2 days. Survives on water and beer. A Wyoming rancher was pinned under an ATV for 2 days after a rollover crash and survived the ordeal by drinking bottled water and beer. This gentleman was 53 years old, was rounding up livestock in a neighbor's pasture when the vehicle tipped over on top of him on Sunday, dislocating his shoulder and breaking his ribs, according to the Gillette News Record. It was scary as hell is what it was, he says. He told the newspaper from the hospital bed on Wednesday. He said he had honked the ATV horn until the battery died, but no one was in earshot in a remote area outside of Gillette. The badly bruised rancher was able to access water and Keystone Light from his cooler until concerned friends and family organized a search for him on Monday and found him a day later. He reportedly discovered Tuesday morning while combing the area on horseback. By the time help arrived, Reynolds is pretty much out of it, he told the paper. Everything on the left side pretty much hurt from the top of my head to my toes. He's expected to stay in the hospital a few more days and eventually fully recover.
Is it kind of... Imagine having a beer on the ATV with you when you're out there.
The worst part is it's Keystone Light.
Oh.
Yeah. Ew.
I'd rather drink the water from the cooler.
Well, Red Wing beer... Brewery beer type, something good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's horrible.
Oh.
Have you ever drank Keystone Light?
Yeah, it's not good.
No.
Not good. Instant headache in a can.
Yeah. So have something with, well, let's
you know
just
what
say,
I mean?
Let's just say.
Let's hope that they never become a sponsor of the show.
I don't think you have to worry about it now.
I think we just dug a hole on that
It numbed the pain.
Whew.
It numbed the pain and kept him hydrated.
Right.
All right, well.
One beer didn't numb anything.
Oh, Don, I'm guessing there was not just one beer.
Oh, okay.
When he said he was pretty much out of it, I was taking it as
okay,
more than one way. A crazy story coming out of Montana. A grizzly bear pulled a woman from her tent in the middle of the night last week and killed her. The victim was from Chico, California, 65 years old, was on a long-distance bicycle trip when she was attacked in the western Montana community of Ovando, about 60 miles northwest of Helena. She was killed around 3:30 a.m. before fellow campers in an adjacent tent were able to use bear spray to ward off the estimated 400-pound animal. Montana Fish and Parks and Wildlife said the bear previously stumbled across a site at 3 a.m. where the couple were camping near a post office. The bear ran away after waking three campers who removed their food from their tents, secured it, and went back to bed. You understand where this story's going, don't you, Don?
Yes, I know. No, I have
15 minutes later, was captured on surveillance footage at a business less than a block away from the post office. Added the bear got into a chicken coop at some point during the night and ate several chickens. Yeah. Best chance for catching the bear, yada, yada, yada. In this particular case, this woman loved those adventures. She was in her 60s, loved doing those kinds of things. And long story short, I followed up on the story. They did find the bear.
Yes.
They did euthanize the bear as well.
Yes.
And story, kind of back story, fatal attacks are rare in that region. There have been three in the last 20 years, including the Tuesday's event. Over the last 20 years, there have been 8 fatal maulings of people by grizzlies from separate populations of about 700 bears around Yellowstone National Park. In April, backcountry guide was killed by a grizzly while fishing along the park's border in southwestern Montana.
You know, the thing about that story that kind of surprised me is that, I mean, these were just bicyclists, and they were literally staying in town next to the post office. Mm-hmm. So there must be a park there that they can camp in. So it's probably a very rare situation. I just think if I'd had been visited by a bear and had food in my tent, I'd probably crawled in my car and, well, she didn't have one. They were bicycling.
Yeah. Here's the problem. Anytime you're out west, anytime, I don't care. You do not ever put food in your tent. It is a guaranteed invitation for someone coming in to visit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking friends.
Yeah.
By no means. And it is grizzly territory, and they're looking for food, and that one obviously was because he went and killed 3-4 chickens. What are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
So it ends up being, guess what? You better go into their environment and be smart.
Yep.
So unfortunate as I would say it is.
Yes, very unfortunate.
That's how that kind of rolls, as the saying goes. Kansas is seeing more mountain lions, black bears, and elk. Kansas went 103 years from 1904 to 2007 without any confirmed sighting of mountain lions. Now, we've kind of covered this on occasion,
right.
The migration, or not, I shouldn't say the migration, but the
expansion.
Advancements and expansion of the mountain lion. But the state, since that point, has seen 36, including 12 last year and 3 this year. And this is Kansas. Some wildlife species that were previously absent or rare in Kansas are appearing more often now, including the mountain lion. It was caught on video last month roaming through an alley in Wichita. The mountain lion sighting continues in a trend in recent decades that has brought an increased presence of wildlife, including elk, black bear, river otter, armadillos, etc., according to Topeka Capital Journal. Some animal populations that have been reduced significantly by hunting have also gone from very rare to very abundant in Kansas. Wildlife research biologists for Kansas Department of Wildlife, Parks, and Tourism, they said that those animals include turkey, wild turkey, Canada goose, and deer populations. Some of the comebacks involved are great success stories in terms of the modern wildlife management. he said, and most of the species involved saw their populations decline as a result of subsistence living and associated unregulated harvest for food or livestock. Kansas went 103 years, of course, and that's one heck of a long time, and all of a sudden having a resurgence, Don. That's like crazy.
Well, that's weird when you're down into Kansas with mountain lions. I mean, they don't have quite the forest, I don't think, that northern plains do.
No, they don't. Also, story, before we wrap up the show, they've got the head-to-head fishing that went on this week. I'm not going to say anything about it. Give you guys time to check out who won, because it's a pretty dramatic fishing going on Pool 2 of the Mississippi River. So they're went through that adventure this week. And if you haven't seen head-to-head, it's a pretty cool format, and it actually keeps your attention all the time because you have cameras on just about everybody, and it's catching. So kind of fun, just south of St. Paul, Minnesota, on the river, and one of the last events they're going to have this year. So coming up on, I should say, but really pretty cool. So something to check out. What else is going on, Don? You doing anything?
I was just curious. You had a note here on Isle Royale.
Yeah.
Is there what's going on there with the wolf population?
They've got actually some pup births, and they were talking with some of the scientists that pup births a real positive sign for wolves in Isle Royale. And according to the scientists, the wolf pups have been spotted again on Isle Royale, a hopeful sign. The effort to rebuild the predator species population at the U.S. parks, and they're hoping that will be happening with the gray wolf population out there.
Cool.
We'll talk a little bit about more of that next week. Thank you guys for joining us, and boy, the show wraps up quick. I'm telling you what, Don, good to have you with us. Ava, yep. As always, thank you for the help. For me, Eric Olson, we're out of here. See you next week.